Nonviolence is an active force of the highest order. It is soul force or the power of Godhead within us, by Mahatma Gandhi.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy for your responses and your subscription, and thank you for joining us today. We are celebrating International Day of Nonviolence, and hence this episode is special to all of us to listen, think and act to save the humanity inside the human. So let's begin episode number 9 of the Expert Dale podcast, and as always I can start it by talking about our guest, and we'll make some mysterious introduction for them and we will go through the interview session. But this time I will not do like this. Today we have something different and a unique topic. I feel that this is the chance for myself to talk about this topic and can see the most ironic personalities from the way they served to the humanity. So as we all know, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Barack Obama are the personalities who got Nobel Prize for their unparalleled contribution toward the peace and nonviolence activities. And as today we know that it's the 2nd October, date of birth of Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, it is the good time to see what the current situation and how Gandhi and other activists gave a tremendous gift of peace to the world. Every year, one out of thousands got selected and were given Nobel Prize for their work, efforts and help for the people and for their voice to raise awareness about the violence happening in the world. Great, it's a noble work to give a Nobel Prize, but have you ever seen that the things didn't change? It didn't change because we are using the violence to solve the violence. We are consuming wars to acquire the peace. Have you ever listened to Nadia Murad? Have you ever heard Muhammad Yunus? No, because most of us just press like buttons and go ahead from this kind of boring topic. But of course, we love to feel proud to talk about Gandhi, to talk about Martin Luther, because it gave us pride to talk only. Today, I want to share something enormous about Gandhi and other people and why we should follow them. As we all know that Mahatma Gandhi is the greatest apostle of people the world has seen after Buddha and Christ. His notion of peace is centered on non-violence, individualism, soul force and forgiveness. But there exists a fundamental correlation of what Gandhi had said and what the world is doing these days to combat violence and bring peace. I was reading Gandhi, and during his protest against the obligatory ID cards for Indians in South Africa, he spoke to the people and his words impacted a lot to me and like many others who were there at that time. The speech was something like this: I am too prepared to die, but there is no cause for which I am prepared to kill. Whatever they do to us, we will attack no one, kill no one. They will imprison us. They will fine us. They will seize our possessions, but they cannot take away our self-respect if we do not give it to them. He also added that I am asking you to fight against their anger, not to provoke it. We will not strike a blow, but we will receive them, and through our pain, we will make them see their injustice, and it will hurt, as all fight hurts, but we cannot lose. We cannot. They may torture us. They may torture my body, break my bones, even kill me. Then they will have my dead body, not my obedience. This was the speech that led many of people to die but not to do violence in order to get the peaceful life. When I was talking about Gandhi in my school times, I participated in lots of elocution competition and talked about Gandhi. But now, when I am seeing the crime, injustice, discrimination and violence in the world, I think this is the chance to rethink about Gandhi and his actions throughout rituals and messages for the world. Gandhi's thought was not just for the non-violence, but for the ultimate optimistic toward create a concrete victory. When I was listening him to talk about the victory and independence, his vision was not just to defeat the violence, but to reach that level of freedom which preserves the human ethos, characters, self-respect and soul forces. And if you want to hear what Gandhi thought about to get results from the non-violence and incorporative protest, let's listen a clip from a movie named Gandhi from 1983.
It's gone beyond remedies like passive resistance.
If I may, I for one have never advocated passive anything. I'm with Mr. Jinnah. We must never submit to such laws, ever. And I think our resistance must be active and provocative. Yeah. I want to embarrass all those who wish to treat us as slaves. Thank you. All of them. Forgive my stupid illustration.
Allow me.
No, please, but I want to change their minds, not kill them for weaknesses we all possess.
And what resistance would you offer?
The law is due to take effect from April the 6th. I want to call upon the nation to make that a day of prayer and fasting.
You mean a general strike?
I mean a day of prayer and fasting. Of course, no work could be done, no buses, no trains, no factories, no administration. The country would stop.
It would terrify them.
Now I was thinking about the Nobel Prize and thought that Gandhi may have two of them, but surprisingly, he was not given Nobel Prize for the peace at all. Gandhi was nominated for a Nobel Prize in 1937, 38, 39, and 1947, but never received the award. He also was nominated in 1948, the year he was assassinated, but the Nobel Committee opted not to bestow him with the award posthumously. But the interesting facts are that the American civil rights leader Martin Luther King, the 1964 Nobel Prize winner, acknowledged Gandhi's work in his acceptance speech, and the 1989 Nobel winner, the 14th Dalai Lama, called his award a tribute to my mentor Mahatma Gandhi. In 2006, the Nobel Committee publicly expressed the regret that Gandhi had never been given the prize, but I think he never fought for the awards, but for the rewards in the form of equality, justice, and the peaceful world. And as I am curious to watch and listen interviews of the greatest people in the world, I was listening one of the interview of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I am happy to give you his voice so that you can also feel that spirit and enlightenment from him about Gandhi.
Gandhi, Dr. King, dramatized and defined the technique of nonviolence, and yet he also said that the only alternative to fear is violence, and that if that were the alternative, he would have to choose violence. Do you subscribe to that judgment of Gandhi, or would you disavow violence under any condition?
Well, I think I would have to somewhat interpret Gandhi at this point. I don't think he was setting forth violence as an alternative. I think he was emphasizing or rather trying to refute an all too prevalent fallacy, and that is that the persons who use the method of nonviolence are actually the weak persons who don't have the weapons of violence, persons who are afraid. But I think that is what Gandhi was attempting to refute. Now, in that instance, I would agree with Gandhi that if the only alternative to violence, to fear, is violence and vice versa, then I would say fight. But it isn't the only alternative. And that is the one point that Gandhi was trying to bring out. It seems to me that there are three ways that oppressed people can deal with their oppression.
What are they, Dr. King?
Well, one is to rise up in open violence, in physical violence. And some persons have used that method, persons who have been oppressed. But I think the danger of that method is its futility. I feel that violence creates many more social problems than it solves.
Why I am inclined to his thoughts and actions, because he taught that violence is not the only way to gain the rules or power. Patience is the key element to success. He taught five great lessons that lead to India gaining peace. Please listen to these five important lessons that gave me ultimate source of energy to win any battle in my life as a leader. So the first one is, the force of power never wins against the power of love. I always make hypotheses to follow any idea or thought and apply it to every situation. And if it works better, then it will become a life change for me. And I want to say that this first lesson made me tremendous leader, speaker, and powerful human. After applying it in my life, I gained lots of success that I can never gain. Gandhi means that peace is gained by tolerance and a force of love for all. The second important thought is, war always inflicts pain on everyone. Here, Gandhi says that world peace can be obtained if we learn the power of non-violence. Why Gandhi became famous is not a matter over here, but how he thought about the non-violence is really considerable. Gandhi took the religion principle of ahimsa, doing no harm, common to Buddhism, Hinduism, and Jainism, and turned it into a non-violence tool for mass action. He used it to fight not only colonial rule, but social evils such as racial discrimination and untouchability as well. Gandhi called it Satyagraha, which means true force. In this doctrine, the aim of any non-violent conflict was to convert the opponent, to win over his mind and his heart, and persuade him to your point of view. Gandhi was firm that Satyagraha was not a weapon of weak. Satyagraha is a weapon of strong. It admits of no violence under any circumstance whatever, and it always instinct upon truth. The third lesson is, we live for our values and passions, but our existence lies in the desire to live a peaceful life. Gandhi meant that the strength of courage is in self-sacrifice for the benefit of all. The fourth one is, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. If our world leaders could show willingness to understand the issues of their opponents, here we can say that leadership doesn't come with competition, it comes with the vision. When today's leaders will not focus on their opponent but the real issue of their people, it will always be paid off. Gandhi didn't just defeat British government, but he empowered thousands of people to be aware about their life and self-respect. His visions and visionary actions was not competition, but the optimum steps to raise the humanity. And last but not the least, we must be the change we want to see in the world. In order for ourselves to see change, we must be the change. We must not discriminate others. We must understand each other as one. Then only can we achieve world peace. And Gandhi proved his thoughts by his actions. He didn't fight violently with British government, but his way to fight with incorporation led him to change the thoughts of British Empire, and Gandhi succeed ultimately. While talking about Gandhi, we did not forget the people after he and followed him and admire him for his noble work. One of the spiritual leaders of Tibetan Buddhism, 14th Dalai Lama, have sentenced one important thought that,
then peace, world peace, peace ultimately come from inner peace. Through inner peace, real peace can achieve. Inner, inside, full of hatred, full of suspicion, full of distrust. Impossible to create peace. So peace must come through inner peace. That I call the hatred, suspicion, distrust. These are some kind of violent type of mind. In order to create inner peace, we must have inner disarmament. Through inner disarmament, there is a real possibility to achieve external disarmament. These are logical. Cause and effect. Every human positive or negative action related with our emotion, related with our motivation. Motivation often related with emotion, like that. So therefore, in order to achieve genuine lasting world peace, firstly, we should take care about our individual's inner peace. I think that's important.
As we have heard this beautiful fragment of the whole speech, we learn one important thing, and it is about the inner peace that can make our world better, more sustainable, rejuvenated, and compassionate. Without the inner peace, we are ignoring, or I can say, eliminating the real thought of Gandhi. I am not a man who can change a world to make it better, but I am a man who can change myself to make a better world. We each of us, we need to start at some point. We need to leave that chaos at some instance and think about the next generation of the earth. As a young guy, I think the future generation don't want these hatreds, nuclear weapons, giant war machines, but they need a place where they can spend a happy and a peaceful life with their families. World leader can provide lots of data and make us furious about the world without the wars and without the fights. But at the same point of time, we have the thoughts and we have the actions of Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Dalai Lama, and many others leaders who have sacrificed their lives in order to achieve the true peace for the world. And hence, let's celebrate this International Day of Nonviolence with one thought to eliminate all disregards. Hate, anger, jealousy, and accept the world as the family. Expert Dale always follow the true virtues of the life, and without ahimsa means non-violence, and without the true inner peace, we cannot achieve our true human potential. Let's begin, let's celebrate, and let's start the journey of peaceful world and ignite this fire to all humankind. Thank you so much for your attention, and thank you so much for your support. So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description, so please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.